When a singer and a writer fall in love, who will be left to pick up the pieces? The 5 Point Podcast. With the power of Brocia, I am Buck, and with me...
Commanding the loyalty of the denizens of the deep, Bobcat!
Yeah, we're doing a bro love, boy love anime now. It's called Gravitation. I will devour the person who described this to us. Her name is Blue.
So this week, we're doing another request. For two in a row now, it's sort of a request from Bree, but it's also a request from her friend Azure.
Blue.
So, Bree always says her name is Azure.
I call
her Spanish for Blue. Da-ba-dee-da-ba-da.
I will eat your soul.
Hey, you left yourself open.
No, we're not going there.
All right.
So first impressions!
Burke, we have to actually explain what we're doing first.
Trat.
So for those of you who haven't tuned in before, here's the five point. Oh, Burke. So for those of you who haven't tuned in before,
you suck.
Here at the 5 Point Podcast, we look at anime based on five different characteristics. Now, before we get into it, since it's been a while since we actually mentioned this explicitly, if you, the viewers at home, would like to request a series for us to review, you can contact us at darthbobcat@gmail.com or go to our website, 5pointpodcast.blogspot.com. We'd love to get some comments. We've had a couple, but not a lot.
We've had one.
No, we've had two now.
I'm sorry, I missed the second.
The 5 points we look at a series on are story, characters, and I always forget number three. Burke, what's number three?
Okay, for the record, Ben is busy being retarded because he completely missed the first one. The first point is in first impressions, then story, characters, presentation, and final thoughts.
Okay, I'm going to edit that one.
You dirt.
Man, I wish we were watching My Little Pony. Anyway.
I don't even have to try to make fun of you this episode.
Fortunately, I have my editing powers.
Oh, you don't. Don't invoke that, Ben.
So, 5 points. First point, first impression. Gravitation. Burke, what did you think coming into this?
I thought it was going to be hilarious to hear your reactions to it.
Yeah, I have a serious anti/fanfic thing going, and so I assumed I would hate this absolutely for the same reasons.
We'll get to his actual impressions later, though.
Right, so that was my first impression. I was apprehensive.
I will say that I immediately soured to the idea when I learned that it was about J-pop. I am not a music man. I do not dance in the rain.
76 trombones.
I will kill parade.
You. I'm sorry, Burke. I constitutionally had to make that reference for the Broadway musical fans out there.
There are none. None that listen to us, anyways. Story!
Part 2 story. The story of this one is actually somewhat hard to define.
Mostly because it's barely there, except when it is. There's a lot going on for not a whole lot of plot.
Which is a very strange way to put it, but that's the best way we can describe it. You have our main character, who is our first pink-haired boy, who is named Shuichi.
His name is Pink-Haired Girl.
He and his friend, Toma, are part of a up-and-coming J-pop band called Bad Luck, or as they said in the sub, Bad Ruck. Or Bad Orucko, or something like that. I can't remember the specifics.
They just said Bad Luck.
There was something accent-y going on.
Of course, it was the sub version.
Yeah, they're being considered for placement by a big recording company, but the problem is that Shuichi, the pink-haired boy, is having a problem of inspiration. He just can't seem to come up with good lyrics.
He can't get it up, you might say.
Ha 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 ha.
Then he meets this special someone that gets it up for him.
He's in the park, going over his lyrics, when a burst of wind comes along and carries them into the hand of a tall, mysterious, blonde stranger. Now this is late at night.
Who will henceforth be known as Master Douche!
Or for those of you who care about the actual names of characters.
Master Douche!
Irie takes one look at the lyrics and says, "These suck. Go home and die."
Master Douche!
And Shoichi is all cryy and unhappy about it, and he's complaining to Toma. And Toma says, "Well, you know, you can't stop thinking about this guy. You must be in love."
For no reason at all, ever.
Right. We'll get into this more in the character section. So the plot from there is the travails of our characters trying to get their band off the ground and famous, and Shuichi's relationship with Irie. Irie. I don't know. E-I-R-I.
Master Douche!
Am I missing anything out on the major parts of the story?
There's another band that are being really jerky. Bad Luck isn't exactly a well-known band or a band that anyone has any faith in. The manager is manic depressive and would have killed himself if not for the fact that he really sucks at choosing windows to jump out of. First episode plot, anyway. That's about it for the first episode. Up to that point.
Right. In the second and third episodes, just kind of build on that. It's about the band trying to get famous and Shuichi's relationship with Irie.
As well as pink-haired boy's fanboy love of a certain singer, which kind of comes up again in the third episode that we were a little confused on that.
Yeah, the third episode was very confusing.
We'll just get this out of the way right now. From our experience, from the very first show we've ever watched, to Heat Guy J, to this, first episode is alright, it might be kind of bad, it might be kind of good. Second episode's always better than the first, the third episode's always the worst. The third episode is cursed.
Yes, three is not our lucky number.
I am seriously thinking about making us watch four episodes of the shows.
For those of you at home who have an opinion on this, you can write us at darthbobcat@gmail.com. Do you want us to up our reviews to four episodes? You decide.
Please, someone write him. He's getting desperate and clingy.
Speaking of desperate and clingy, let's move on to point two, characters. That is the best segue ever.
The first character of note is the shape-shifting, live-action cartoon character, Pink-Haired Girl.
A.K.A. Shuichi Shindo.
And when I say live action, I actually mean live action.
That's under presentation, though.
Yeah, we'll cover that in presentation.
Shuichi, episodes 1 and 2, I liked him. Shuichi is just basically, he's kind of an everyman, or an everygirl, or whatever. I suspect that the audience this was meant for was girls who like Shonen Eye series.
He's very feminine.
Yes. In fact, he is a grade A level trap. I won't go into details, but I do know that he caught one of the members of the Desu Des Brigade, who was very surprised to find out that he was male.
Beyond this fact, though, I will note, at least in the dub, he is very obviously male. The sub, you know, Japanese version, it depends on the scene he's in. Sometimes he tries to be very feminine with his voice.
It's kind of funny that he's so ambiguous about that, because he's very much a typical shonen hero.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about typical, but he's very whiny at times, especially in the third episode, and very emotional. He wears his heart on his sleeve.
Yes. He charges into everything, he wants his way, all the time, and this can either be endearing or annoying, depending on the situation.
Sometimes annoying. Mostly third episode.
Yeah, he isn't a bad character. He might be a little inconsistent.
No, if you want to get to a bad character, we have to go to Master Douche!
Hey, let's bring him up third. Let's talk about the character who I think was our favorite first.
No. Red-haired guy has to come up third so that we can contrast their relationships.
Okay. So, Shuichi's romantic interest is named Irie Yuki.
Master Douche!
He's a professional writer. Apparently he's very famous, which I guess, now that I think about it, it makes sense why he would feel like he was qualified to critique Shuichi's song lyrics in the first episode when they hadn't met before.
In the most smuggest way possible.
I do not like Irie. I think the show would honestly be better off without him.
he really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the show. Beyond the second episode, because his sister crashed through a wall to grab pink-haired girl and take him somewhere.
We'll get to that when we briefly touch on her character. But back to Irie. Now, if I had to say that this show has a bit one failing, there are a couple places where the show missteps. But I'd say the biggest thing that keeps me from really liking it is the relationship between Irie and Shuichi.
I have a way to describe it, though this may be controversial, it may not be. This would be like Edward and Bella, only if Edward was more abusive verbally and more controlling and domineering.
And considering how they actually are in Twilight, that's pretty... The thing is that I don't quite get what these two characters see in each other.
I get what Master Douche sees in Pink-Haired Girl. He says it constantly. He finds him cute. That's really it. Apparently he seems to think that his music sucks, so I don't see any other reason.
Poor Shuichi is arm candy.
The Pink-Haired Girl, though, honestly, he just kind of got forced into a relationship with this guy, and he's just rolling with it, which I guess is good for him.
He seems to like it. He's always being verbally abused.
Always.
You know, since I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, I'll just start calling him Yuki, because that's his last name.
Master Douche!
Yuki just keeps calling him an idiot. Constantly.
All the time. In fact, in episode 3, where he was actually the most likable character, besides the red-haired guy, he spent a full minute just calling him moron.
Yeah.
Just moron, 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 moron. Basically like how I treat Bobcat.
Now, you aren't that bad.
Do you want me to be? See, it's when you make noises like that that I have to hit you again.
I'm sorry. I'll tell him I fell down the stairs.
No, you won't. I won't let you. I hit you with a wrench!
Now, we say that he's the most likable because something I'll bring up about Shuichi is, like I said, his dogged determination to get the band going can lead to some real issues with him.
Not the least of which turning into a banana.
Yeah, let's save that for presentation.
Okay. He turns into a banana. We'll touch on that later, but yeah, banana.
Shuichi, okay, first two episodes, I hated Yuki because of how he was treating Shuichi. I thought, Shuichi, you can do better than that. Third episode, I thought Yuki was being too nice.
Pink-haired girl in the third episode is almost insufferably, awfully whiny and complainy and shape-shifty. And really, Master Douche puts up with a lot from the guy.
And vice versa. I mean, like I said, I don't see how these two characters click.
I don't either, because here's how they basically got together. Pink-haired boy runs into him at the park, we covered that. Then pink-haired boy talks to his red-headed friend, who comments that he likes him, and before this point, he's never shown an interest in guys, and even at this point, he hasn't shown an interest in guys. Because it wasn't like he was pining over him. He was really, really upset and frustrated that this jerk totally destroyed his lyrics. And, you know, basically implied that he was a retarded monkey typist. But after that, he goes back, meets him again, gets basically chewed out, goes back a third time for reasons I don't even remember, and gets roped into being his boyfriend Beard.
I think it's like the relationship seems to be secret, but not secret.
It's not secret at all. He was molesting him in front of everyone. I wanted to call an adult for pink-haired boy, girl.
Yeah, it's such a dang abusive relationship. It's really what keeps me from liking the show.
Yeah, the show's not bad. We'll go ahead and cover that now. But, well, it could have been a lot better if they had done one little thing, and that brings us to our third character.
Yes. Now, Toma is a really cool guy.
He has red hair.
He kills aliens and doesn't afraid of anything.
We're not, do we? No.
It's been said, it can't be unsaid.
I thought you had magical editor powers.
I'm selective about how I use them.
I hate you.
So, Toma is our, I think, our both of our favorite characters.
I don't really have a favorite character, but if I was going to pick one, it'd probably be him, because he annoys me the least.
Toma is Shuichi's bandmate.
Honestly, he would have been a far better guy to be in a relationship with him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they're not. It could have been this whole thing about a couple who struggled together to get their band off the ground. Instead, Master Douche basically just snarks in the background and has nothing to do with the plot.
I've been told that we get some more insight into Yuki later, but I can't say that I much care. I want more insight into Shuichi or Toma.
I want to know how they got to this point.
Right, because they've been bandmates for years.
Apparently.
What's interesting is that Toma is the one who keeps egging Shuichi to pursue that relationship.
Yeah. What really makes that interesting, though, is that red-haired guy likes pink-haired girl, or at least he said he did, obliquely, and yet he doesn't even try to test the waters there at all. Instead, he just throws them at Master Douche.
Maybe he has a long-range plan. Step 1, get Shuichi out of the closet. Step 2, put Shuichi in a relationship that's so terrible that it's bound to fail. Step 3,
profit.
Catch him on the rebound. Step 4, profit.
That's not how it works.
It's how this plan works, and I think it's actually a pretty good plan, because in a logically written universe...
There would be no banana people.
Okay, in a logically written universe...
There would be no live-action people.
Shuichi and Yuki would, I could see, like, a physical thing keeping them together for a little bit, but I just don't see it as a relationship that has legs.
Yeah, and right now, the only thing keeping them together is physical. And by that, I mean Master Douche is physically keeping pink-haired girl, at his side.
Yeah.
When he's not throwing him outside.
Abusive relationship. Now, just to give you guys something to go on here about how unusual it is for me to be advocating a relationship between Toma and Shuichi. I generally have very strong feelings about keeping pairings in fanfiction and such, keeping pairings as the author intended, especially if that pairing goes against the character's canon orientation. I don't believe in what literary people call the death of the author very strongly. In this case, totally a Shuichi-Toma shipper.
And I think it's fair to say that you tend to stay towards more heterosexual relationships in your own work and your own shows.
That's just where I'm at.
Yeah, and that's fine. In fact, it just makes this show all the more impressive because you actually do like these characters. Up until episode 3.
You know, the thing with episode 3 is that we won't go into the specifics of the plot because we don't understand the plot, but when we get to step 4, presentation, basically everything that we complain about in section 4 was a problem in episode 3 more than the other episodes.
Yeah, except for one thing, but we'll get to that.
Back to characters. So the main three, we're in a bizarre thing where they've actually gotten Bobcat to do a non-canon gay ship.
A miracle, some would say.
So how does the rest of the cast get involved in this? Well, the answer is, it's hard to say. There are lots and lots of characters.
I can't even use my usual atypical, generic, confused nickname thing, Majiggers.
Now, just to break the fourth wall a little bit, when Burke makes up names, he usually has some idea of what the main characters are actually named. It's just a bit. Here? Heck if I know who half these people are.
There's like 4 or 5 blonde-haired pretty boys, all of whom look basically the same at a distance. You only can tell them apart because they have different voices.
And we may have been lucky to have heard their voices mentioned once.
Yes. I think there are at least 3 semi-main characters that are blonde pretty boys. Master Douche, the manager, and the other singer.
Yeah.
Who is also a douchebag. Apparently blonde people are not nice.
Right. Okay, one character who stands up because she's the only woman we've seen.
Yeah.
Who actually has a name. Is Noriko. We'll talk about him in just a second. Wait, is it Noriko? No. Noriko is You know what? Noriko is actually the character that I got confused by. See,
it doesn't matter. It's the only one with a vagina.
No. That is not, in fact, Noriko. Even though Noriko is a girl's name, this is the keyboard person who joins in episode 3, who joins the band in episode 3.
He actually joined the band?
Yeah, I thought he did. See, Burke and I, for once, watched episode 3 together. We usually watch them separately, then come together to talk about it. This time we watched it together.
It didn't help.
We'd just been commenting, wow, there are no women in this show. And then suddenly, Shuichi runs into someone, knocking, well, at first glance, her over.
Had a very feminine voice.
Very feminine face.
Feminine eyes. Though, really, we only had one other person to compare him to.
Right. But when Burke was like, no, that's a woman. And I said, no, he's holding a notebook over his chest. And then a character referred to him as he.
Really? Gender in this show is really, with two or three exceptions, it's very exchangeable. Them being guys or them being girls don't really matter too much.
And really, yeah, I complain about the episode where, or the series, where there are lots of characters who are poorly defined. They're just thrown out there. Noriko, his character is completely undefined. We know he's a genius keyboard artist, even though he's only 16, and that makes Shuichi jealous and go hang out with Yuki for a few hours.
And by that I mean completely bored Master Douche until he throws him out of the house.
Yeah, it is an interesting relationship where Shuichi just shows up at Yuki's house, complains for several hours, then Yuki finds his, look, you're cute, but you're not that cute.
Yeah.
And then tosses him out.
Yeah. Could be worse. Could be the manager who just... We need to scroll back to the only female character.
Right, since we set that up. Mika Seguchi, Yuki's older sister. And they did an interesting fake-out in the first episode. And there's some sort of family drama going on there. But they did an interesting fake-out because the first time Shuichi meets them, they're looking awfully close to each other. Then Yuki just grabs Shuichi and starts...
molesting him.
Yeah, molesting is the right term for it. He needed an adult. And Mika's like, so that's how it is? Fine. And she leaves. And it looked like, initially, that she was Yuki's girlfriend, and Yuki was using making out with a dude in front of her as an excuse for breaking up with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which actually, if that had... No, he still used Shuichi to get her out of his house. But she's his older sister, and there's some sort of conflict going on with the family.
She also, for the record, has no qualms about property damage, because in the second episode, she drives a car through a wall to kidnap pink-haired girl.
Yes, because her plan is to use pink... or now you have me doing it. Her plan is to use Shuichi. Her plan is to use Shuichi as her in on Yuki and get him to agree to meet with the family.
And
in exchange for giving Shuichi a recording contract. Now I'll say this for Shuichi: he is a man of morals.
Kind of.
He decided to go over and try to convince Yuki to be willing to meet with his family, but he flat out turned down the recording deal offer.
Which does speak well of her. Him.
It speaks well of Shuichi. Pronouns on this show get confusing.
More than not. And her character is protective, but not really that well defined. She's not around that much. And really, I don't think she shows up at all in the third episode. Her entire little subplot's gone.
I'd say that this is probably a show where our getting in and doing a quick sample selection isn't going to give us the whole impression.
Yeah. Another potential show that we mentioned before, Skullman, is similar, and we've decided not to do it, sadly. This is really a show you're going to have to watch more than 3 episodes of.
Right, so we might, at some point, if we've had enough time to watch all 13 episodes, do the whole thing, but... but that's off topic for the moment.
No, we're not.
Okay, then. Never mind. Skull Man is off the table.
Wait, no, I meant this show.
I meant watch all of Skull Man to review.
Oh. Okay, that might work out better. I thought you meant this show.
Now, the only other character who really stood out to me at all is Mr. Sakano.
The manager.
Yes.
He is... Well, in the first episode, he was the most cartoonish of all the characters, closely followed by pink-haired girl who smashed through a door. Property damage happens at whim in this show.
Yep.
But by the time of the third episode, he really mellows out to the point where he takes being fired really, really well.
Now, to be fair, it turns out he wasn't actually fired, just reassigned.
Yes, but he didn't find that out till like the next day or something.
Or at least we, the audience, didn't find that out. That did explain why he was still in the building. We thought that he was just such a Japanese salaryman stereotype that he couldn't bear to leave.
And for the record, even though he is a Japanese salaryman stereotype, he is also very bitchy.
Yeah.
There are no ugly characters in this show.
Nope. I actually kind of like Mr. Sakano, even though I don't know why I like Mr. Sakano.
There's nothing to hate about the guy.
Yeah, that's true.
He takes his job seriously. He takes care of his boys. Tries to see that they're well taken care of. He's like teen dad.
He does go to the plate for them with the head of the company a few times. Because apparently Bad Luck, remember that's the name of the band, is apparently good enough to consider, but not necessarily a sure thing.
It itself is bad luck.
Right. But yeah, I can't think of any other characters who I thought that we learned enough about to really have an opinion of in the first three episodes.
The other band were filled with a bunch of veils. That's like having characters. I think there was one other female character in the background somewhere.
There's a established singer who I can't even pick out his name from the Wikipedia character name list, because all the characters' descriptions are very similar.
He was there. I think he's related to the one guy from that one episode. Third episode.
This is compelling. This is a show that throws loads of characters at you, but doesn't really do much to define them. Heck, a show that I felt was doing a pretty bad job of it was last week's Tales from Earthsea, where there were huge sections of character biographies that we didn't learn until, say, characters turned into dragons, or a clone of the character showed up to menace him.
Yeah, though, to be fair to this show, this is still better than Earthsea.
Yeah, but Earthsea did a better job giving us an insight into the characters. This is a very bad sign.
Yeah, well, here's a quick question. There is one more character that is sort of defined. The manager.
You mean the head of the record company?
Yeah.
yeah, he's not standing out at all.
That's because in the second episode, honestly, when we first meet him, I really did mistake him for Master Douche. Because they look a lot alike from a distance. They have basically the same character type. It's just that Master Douche is a lot more hard-edged. His eyes are slantier. His jawline's more defined and all that.
Oh, Lord. Okay, I'm embarrassed. I have to make a correction.
What?
Noriko is a different character than I thought she was. Noriko is actually a woman. We haven't met her yet.
Oh, so okay. There's going to be another girl?
Yes. The character who we thought we're talking about, who is the keyboard person, is named Suguru. Reading over the character list here, I saw a character whose name, or who had the word keyboard in there, and made a mistake. Sorry, people. Sorry.
Why must you always lie to us?
I'm sorry.
Always with the lies! Go cut out your intestines and commit suicide.
No, thank you.
I'll do it now. You're worthless to me. Now then.
Am I at least cute enough to keep around?
Do I have to answer? Because the answer is no.
Anyways, the head of the record company. I can't find his name on the list.
That's... basically he's...
I guess he's the closest we have to an antagonist aside from Yuki.
He's more like the mentor, but not really. He's kind
he's very
of
very rough on them.
Yeah. He's friends with the famous singer who is barely a character. Actually, you know what? He doesn't really have a character, does he?
No, he's just sort of the one that they have to please to get their job.
Good phrasing there, Bobcat.
Oh, get your mind out of the gutter.
I can't. You make it too easy. Okay.
So, yeah. That's it for characters.
I find it funny that we both ended it in two different ways at the same time.
Or point four.
Presentation!
Okay, first off, let's do the animation. Now, the animation is itself mostly competent.
It's very averagely good.
Yeah, but they do something that I can't decide whether it's a money-saving effort or them trying to be avant-garde. There's lots of really, really blurred out live-action footage.
Well, not lots. It mostly showed up in the first episode. In fact, that's how we're introduced to Pink-Haired Girl. That's his entire introduction. He's running and he's live action.
And really, really blurred out, so you can't see that it's not him.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not kidding when I say that he's a live action cartoon shapeshifter. More on that in just a second.
And it just looks bad. I was thinking about it, and the closest I could come up with to a good artistic reason to do it would be to try and show people that this is meant to be our world. But the trouble is that the shapeshifting, the random property destruction, the driving cars through walls, undermines the whole "this is happening in reality" thing that could be trying to establish.
What Bobcat means by the shapeshifting, since he just cited it without actually explaining it in an official way, the main character, Pink-Haired Girl, he will sometimes turn into something else. Like, in the first episode, he just becomes a chibified version of himself. It wasn't too bad, it was really kind of goofy, but, you know, whatever. In the third episode, though, I don't recall if he did it in the second, which is another reason.
No, he didn't. That's why we liked it. There was less random nonsense.
Still. In the third episode, within the span of 4 minutes, maybe three, he becomes a full-blown cat, completely two-dimensional, a chibi, and a banana man.
Now, I'd actually seen a few clips from this show and stuff like AMV Hell and such. I thought that the banana thing was, oh, ha-ha, they made him dress up like a banana to promote their show, or something crazy like that.
No! He just gets into a fight with red-haired guy who's really much better for him, because he actually stands up for himself around him, and he's wearing a banana suit. Or he is a banana, it's hard to tell. Because later on, he slips on a banana peel that apparently he took off.
This is the first time that something in presentation is directly related to the writing, but not to the story or the characters, in that the author, this is based on a manga, so I'm assuming that this was done in the manga too. The author, to underline certain jokes, does really weird gag animation stuff. When Shuichi turned into a banana, he was yelling that he hoped that Toma would slip on a banana peel and die. When he turned into a cat, he was being really hostile and hissing at the record dealer for suggesting that they add a third person to the band.
Yeah.
Supposed to be funny, and a couple of times it was, but it was just very bizarre. It did not jump the cultural barrier for me.
There was a lot of just terrible puns and wordplay.
Which also didn't jump the cultural barrier.
Yes. Now then, would you like to give your thoughts on the sub versus the dub? The first time ever we can do this.
Sub wins.
Go into detail, you jerk.
Summary statement, sub wins. Dub is early 2000s. And there's a lot of flat delivery. Yuki in particular just sounds terrible. He says lines like, "This is so bad, you should go kill yourself," stuff like that. Such a stilted, unemotional way. Now, Shuichi's voice actor isn't bad in the dub. At the very least, in my notes, I didn't write any angry notes about it like I did with him and Mr. Sakano.
The main thing about the dub is that the voice actors are all generally correct. It's just the fact that they can't really act. or the writing is very slanted, I'm not sure which. There is something very off about the dub. While the sub is a lot more natural sounding, but some of the characters really, really do not sound masculine when they're supposed to be.
Which likely went into that they did that for Goku and Dragon Ball Z, so you can't necessarily... It does seem to be a more Japanese thing to consistently give male roles to female actors.
That's not why Goku has a female actor, though.
Oh, I know why Goku has a female actress, but...
Don't.
Because she had the best darned agent ever.
No, that's not it.
I can just imagine the conversation now.
I am shutting right, you... No. Joke aborted. I am shutting you down. Shutting you down. I am actually informing our audience. I am using intelligence now. The whole entire reason why Goku is voiced by a woman and will be voiced by a woman until she dies is because the same woman started voicing him back in Dragon Ball when he was a little kid, and that actually worked, in theory. And they just decided to honor her and keep her on board as the character. They do this all the time with different roles, such as with Digimon. The Digimon will keep their same voice actor, even throughout all their evolutions. I assume the same goes for Pokemon, but I'm not entirely certain on that. And that is why. And this has been me hijacking a very, very silly joke from Bobcat. You are welcome.
Alright, sub wins, but there is some clunkiness there if you aren't ready for it.
Yeah. Okay.
No music. This is a show about a band.
There was one last thing I wanted to touch on. That being,
okay,
in the third episode, I'm not sure if this points towards the later ones or not, but they started to get a little bit cheaper on the animation. Mostly on little things, like there was a scene of a car going down a highway, except it was just three animation segments that were constantly being looped. And then there was a scene immediately after there where Master Douche obviously repeated the same motion for no reason that I can see. So the animation is average, but it has some hints of going, well...
south?
Baka and Test, I was going to say.
The further along we go, the more I think that Baka and Test actually has pretty good animation.
Except for its third episode.
So what was I going to... Oh, yes, the music. This is a show about a band, so of course, there's more music than normal.
Oh, God!
Burke, get your hate out of the way.
I hate all of these songs. Yes, I do. I hate the way they sound and the lyrics too.
That's from our guest commentator, Louis Armstrong.
You're welcome.
Now, as somebody who has a bit more of a taste for J-pop than Burke, as in I have a taste for J-pop, the music here is good. I think my favorite song I've heard in there was the end theme. So if you like J-pop, this is not going to be painful or anything, because this is pretty representative and good examples of it.
It's still horribly generic and not all that lively.
Right. It isn't the best. Some of the theme songs we've had so far have been better than the actual music from the show, but it's not bad. I find myself liking some of it.
I need to sing like that more often.
Well, just as long as you don't do the voice for the whole episode again.
I was about to suggest that we do a musical episode one day.
Oh, Lord. Alright, so is there anything else in the presentation that really jumped out at you?
Touched on the sameness, we touched on the transformation.
If you didn't get that it was supposed to be a look at into the character's psyche, or it was meant to enhance the joke, you might legitimately get the impression that he had superpowers.
Because he does it a lot in the third episode.
Now consider this. Wouldn't the show have been much better if it had been about a shape-shifting superhero trying to start a band?
I want to see Plastic Man put on a band now.
He can travel around the country in a van with a talking dog.
He would be the van. I want this to be done now. Thank you, Gravitation.
You've inspired the most cracktastic episode of the Scooby-Doo Mysteries ever.
I think that's about it for presentation. So, shall we get to final thoughts?
Yes, final thoughts. This show was all right. I found myself actually liking the first two episodes and wanting to know more about Shuichi. Also, I wanted to know more about Toma. I think that the albatross around this show's neck is Yuki. Now, I know why Yuki is included, and it's something that I have to take points off for, or at least for me personally. He's there because it's a type of guy that wouldn't be represented in the show otherwise.
Yeah, and really, this show doesn't need it, though I will note, he did show signs of improvement in the third episode. But that might have just been from everyone else getting worse.
I have been told that he gets better as the show goes on. Maybe as the show goes on, he gets more relevant to the actual plot.
That would be nice. Right now he's just like a magical horse that has nothing to do with anything in a war drama that the main character goes to confess all of his woes to.
So it'd be... Dang it, what was the name? There was some old movie about a mule in the... a talking mule in the army that was like that.
Well, I don't know what that is, but I do know one thing. I could sing Fly Me to the Moon as Louis Armstrong.
No, thanks, we're good.
Anyways. Fly me to the moon. Let me swing among those stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
I did that just to annoy you, Bree.
You know, Burke, you've mastered the art of being so annoying that I can't justify cutting you because it's funny. Good work.
That's because I can sing in a very, very bizarre voice.
Without Yuki, you'd have a show about a couple of bandmates trying to make it in a cutthroat music industry where everyone is against them. That's an interesting story.
Yeah. Plus, you could deal with the drama of it all, them discovering their relationship with each other. Instead, that part of it's really kind of just glossed over.
The show feels more like it's... Okay, the show is about Yuki and Shuichi's relationship. It's like the plot of the show exists to give Shuichi something to complain to Yuki about.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, because there is a good show in here.
Yeah, no, it is a good show. We can't say that. It's just not... it's flawed. At least in these first three episodes.
Now, who would I recommend this to? If you watched this and you got the Yuki-Shuichi relationship right away, you will love this show. That is the litmus test for how much you'll like this show. If you can buy the relationship, you'll love it because it's silly and there's some decent music and...
If you're homophobic, you won't really like this, but then again, I don't know why you're listening to this to begin with. Because Lord knows, the broship between me and Darth Bobcat would turn you off anyways.
Oh, God. I'll know that we've made it when I see a fanfic like that.
I already made one.
You can't just cross out Applejack and Rainbow Dash and put in our names. It doesn't work like that.
Yes, it does. If I get you to have the surgery.
No, Burke, wing implants look unnatural and gross.
That's not the surgery I was talking about, baby.
I need an adult.
No, you don't.
I am an adult.
But yes, if cute guys are what you draw you into a show, you'll like this. I'll say that it's not nearly as exploitative as I was expecting. I was expecting something like Oran Host Club, where it is openly about the fetishes.
I don't know what that is.
You're better off not knowing.
I'm not sure what we're doing next week, but I do know that Utena Revolution Girl... I don't know what it's called.
Revolutionary Girl Utena?
Something like that.
Revolutionary Girl Utena?
I guess, if that's what it was called. It has a pink-haired girl.
I might know too much about that show to give us a real good 5-point podcast first impression thing. Another option on the table is Invasion Squid Girl, which was one of my choices from last week.
Though he mistakenly put that as a, what was it called? Jellyfish Princess?
Oh yes, Jellyfish Princess.
Princess Jellyfish.
Princess Jellyfish. Which is a very different show, but...
We'll probably review that later.
Yes. So, in conclusion, Gravitation, you can watch the first two episodes dubbed for free on YouTube. If you like it, keep watching. If you don't, you won't regret it, necessarily.
You can find the sub, but I'm not sure if it's entirely through legal channels. Really, that's about it. I didn't hate this show, though I will say that I did not remember anything about the music, mostly because I was loudly ignoring it.
Yep.
That's really all I have to say. Now, if you excuse me, I have to molest Ben.
Come here, little girl.
Just think of England. Just think of England.
That's not all you'll be thinking.